I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Smith rifles that one to Mims. And that's a foot race he's going to win. Touchdown, Baylor. Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards. Five straight games, Anthony, where he's got a touchdown catch of over 20.
That's deflected and picked off Mosey. He'll kick it in. It's a pick six.
Bell into the middle of that line, and it's a touchdown.
Big return for Crowder, 85 yards.
There was contact with the quarterback, and it's incomplete. They got pressure on Prescott. It was Adams who came blitzing in.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know,
and
what?
It's the Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time for X and O Quick Hits, featuring the man who breaks down the film like nobody's business over at JetsXFactor.com. That, of course, the host of Blewett's Blitz, Mr. Joe Blewett. Joe, how are you, sir?
I just want the Jamal Adams stuff then. We're not going to get into it. that's all I'm thinking about right now. I'm going to bed, waking up, like, is he traded? Is he not traded? Is he signing? Is he not signing? So I want that to end. And if that doesn't end, I'm hoping there's a football season to distract myself, because with that being the only news right now, it's hard to not just delete your Twitter, which I'm not going to do again. But damn, it is hard times right now without being the only news with no actual football to talk about.
Well, to take our mind off of Jamal Adams, instead of talking about him, let's talk about a different safety. We'll start the discussion today about Ashton Davis, who the Jets picked at number 68 overall, third round out of Cal. Very talented kid, incredible athlete, track star. You took a look at his film. What did you see from him, both positive and negative?
So it's kind of funny that we're starting with this, because this is, and we'll talk about the other picks too. I'm not as high on Davis as some other people are, and I know there's plenty of respected people who are high on him. A lot of people said he late first round pick, maybe a second round pick or early third, whatever it may have been, if he was able to run. And I get that he probably would have been like a low 4.4 guy, maybe a high 4.3. You can never exactly tell how fast somebody's going to run, but I would say in that window. And with the strengths, you see the rare, athletic ability, the great character, the top end speed, the acceleration, the fluidity, the range, the toughness. Like, he has a lot of good traits that you like: change of direction skills, ball skills. He offers the special teams versatility, both as a gunner or a returner, whatever you want him to do. Like I said, he's aggressive with punching the ball out. There's some things you definitely like, but this is one of the episodes where I figured, okay, we're watching a DB, a guy who played both a little bit of like slot corner and safety. Why not bring in Marcus Coleman, former DB in the NFL for 11 years? And we both kind of had the same opinion, where he has all those athletic traits, but in terms of his instincts, recognition, and a lot of other technical aspects, he definitely is lacking severely, where a lot of people, he's the replacement for Adams or May if they leave in year one. And we spoke about it before. That's definitely not going to happen in year one. He's super raw. Could it happen in year two? Maybe, but he's not a guy who's even close, I think, to playing a prominent role, because he is so raw. Like I said, with his instincts, with his recognition, his tackling, he comes into tackles really uncontrolled. He gets distracted by contact. There was a play, I forget what game it was, but there was a wide open gap for the running back. I think they threw the B gap. The running back's running right at him, and he sees a crack block coming from the receiver on the outside. And instead of squaring up and tackling the running back, he drops his shoulder into the receiver for no reason. And if the running back wasn't tackled from behind, it would have been a 60-yard touchdown that Davis let up, because he wanted to put his shoulder into the receiver instead of coming into the tackle controlled like he should have. So he completely took himself out of the play for no reason. It was confusing. There's a lot of plays where, he's in a deep coverage, he's in a deep third, deep half, whatever it might be, or may be. And because he's playing at college, he's reading the quarterback's eyes. But that's all he'll really do. Like, he's not really great at recognizing routes in front of him and making plays on the ball. Because of that, it's more, okay, you know, I'm a freak athlete. I see the quarterback throw the ball, and I run to that ball. Whereas in the NFL, to make those plays, you need to have recognition and start breaking on that throw before the ball is even thrown. So he's too reliant on the quarterback's eyes. So you can't rely on him deep, because I think he will get looked off. I wouldn't rely on him deep either, because he's a great tackler. He's not a great tackler. Marcus May, one of the best things about him is he's a really good open field tackler for the most part, minus the Odell Beckham play, which I still don't know what happened on that play. Davis cannot do that. Like, that's a trade that's, you know, not really looked at too much in terms of safeties. You need to be able to tackle in the open field. So that's concerning. I think he's distracted by contact. I think in man coverage, he has the fluidity, but he's super impatient with his feet. His upper body becomes too aggressive. He becomes off balance. He's not sure, you know, in terms of like his footwork, what footwork he should take. There's times where he's breaking on routes and he looks back to the quarterback too early, and then he'll lose the receiver on a double move. On double moves, he'll attack too hard of an angle at the receiver instead of attacking the near shoulder. So if the receiver does cut back upfield, you know, there becomes incidental contact, and you slow down that route with just your position. That's how you want to attack double moves. So like, there's a lot of things that he's super, super raw with. Now, I get the pick, even though I don't think it's as great of a pick as some other people do. I get the picks because of the athletic ability. But I think people are lying to themselves that they don't think he has a ton of room to grow before he could play in a prominent role. So we start off as kind of a negative. Again, could he develop into a really good center fielder? For sure. He has the athletic ability to do it, but the game is 95% mental to me, which he's lacking at this point, which, you know, makes sense. He's relatively newer to the position. Like, he wasn't recruited for football and all that stuff to Cal. He, you know, track and then walk on, et cetera. So it's expected, but he's not coming out of college like a, you know, which he's been a little bit disappointed, like a Malik Hooker or any one of these guys, you know. So it's going to be interesting, his track of development, but I wouldn't expect a lot from him year one, minus a few, you know, flashy special teams play. And, you know, maybe he's asked to do some simple things like shallow zones or maybe man up on a tight end, and he might make a play or two. But if you're relying on him to be that deep guy or play a prominent role, I think you're going to be a little bit disappointed, at least year one.
Let's clear something up here, Joe, because there are people that have suggested that if Jamal Adams were to be traded or if something else were to happen there, that Davis could step in right away at strong safety, or they could just shift Marcus May over to strong safety and put Davis at free safety. There's no way that the Jets could actually consider doing that, is there?
No, and I will take a hard stance on that. There's absolutely no way you could rely on Davis to start year one. Unless he takes an unprecedented step in the right direction. Like I said, there was times I saw him struggle at Cal and off coverage or all the things I just talked about. In the NFL, that's going to be expanded on. Like, those struggles are going to be expanded on. I'm not good with words. So in year one, absolutely no way he could start. Honestly, I would feel more comfortable with a guy like Mateus Farley if he's back this year starting over Davis. Now, obviously, going for the future, you want Davis to take a step in the right direction, but I would pick Farley over Davis playing a prominent role, because, like I said, Davis is a traits pick, a developmental guy, which is fine. This is one of the picks where, you know, where he's shooting for the stars versus the other picks with, you know, guys we're talking about with Zuniga and P. Ryan, where it's more of a safe pick. This is a raw player who needs a lot of time to develop. So he's not a year one replacement for Adams, for May, for nobody. Like, he – listen, and he's not Jamal Adams in the box. And like I said, with him playing deep, you can't rely on him in both coverage. So it looked off, and then he'll give up big plays, and he can't come down and tackle, you know, like May can, you know, in the open field. And May, when he played for those games that, you know, in the box where Jamal Adams was injured, May didn't look so great in the box. So I think May is a strictly a deep guy. Like, he can come up and play a little bit, but you don't want that to be his full-time role. So if Adams is traded, they have a hole there for sure. It'll be a big hole in 2020.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I don't think either one of those two guys is capable of being a full-time strong safety. It would completely play to their weaknesses and away from their strengths, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right now you're looking and like this year, like now you're looking at the Jets as one of the best safety duos in the league, mainly because of Adams, but it also allows Marcus May to play deep. And you know, he's not a super rangy guy, but he's pretty efficient. He gets the spots he needs to be at. He's a solid tackle. He can come into the box and blitz a little bit. Like, he's an all around type guy, but he's not Ed Reed. He doesn't have elite ball skills or recognition like a guy like, you know, like a Weddle or Harrison Smith or whoever you want to name does, but he's solid back there. But now if you transition from Adams and May to Davis and May, it's definitely a lacking group. It's below average for sure. Adams makes that much of a difference. We're not getting into the Adams conversation, but I think Davis has the ability to like, if he develops into what I think he could be, I think he will be, he could be a guy who would play anything. Like, he has the ability to play in the box because he's aggressive. Even though I think he's a little bit light for the box in the NFL, but he could come up and play there. He could play deep. He could play man on receivers because he's that fluid and that fast. He could set the edge a little bit because of his aggression. He could play deep because of his range in any zone, whether it be a one or a cover two or three or six, whatever it is. So he has all those abilities, but year one, absolutely no way, in my opinion, is he ready for any of that.
Let's move on to the Jets' second pick in the third round, Jabari Zuniga, defensive end / outside linebacker out of Florida. What do you see when you look at his tape positively and negatively? Obviously, both of us were pretty high on Jakai Polite, and that didn't work out, although I would argue that a lot of it had to do with stuff that has nothing to do with football. Zuniga apparently has a much better head on his shoulders. Where does he compare talent-wise, and should the Jets expect anything from him year number one?
Yeah, and this is like the whole thing with Polite is like, okay, they shouldn't have picked Zuniga because of Polite, and the Jets shouldn't have picked Darnold because of Matt Leinart and Barkley and Mark Sanchez. Like, you know, that we both know without saying that's a dumb argument. So they're completely different players. This is a pick where I said, like, Ashton Davis is shooting for the stars. This is a little bit more of like a safe pick, but Zuniga is never going to be a guy because of his athleticism, like in some of the areas he's lacking athletically, where he's going to be. You know, Khalil Mack or Von Miller, any one of those guys. Like, his arms are decent length, 32-inch arms. I think it's 7 to 8 inch arms, so almost 33, which is good, not great. You know, he has good straight line speed, but in terms of, like, that bendiness and that twitchiness you need from the edge, like, you see, like, guys like Khalil Mack or Von Miller or even, like, you know, a couple years ago, Josh Allen, guys who can really bend. You really need that to be able to corner when you are trying to flatten off of the arcs. Like, you need that stuff. That he doesn't necessarily have. So he's more of a safe guy, but he's also like, he's interesting. Like, he's not laterally explosive. Like, he's almost, and trust me, I'm not making the one comparison necessarily in terms of how good they were in college, but like almost more of like a Jadeveon Clowney type athlete where like he's super explosive in a straight line. And has a good build, but is not necessarily like a bendy, twitchy type guy off the edge, which is why Clowney was always a better guy in the run game than he was in the pass game. So like that's like you're not going to be Clowney because Clowney is a little bit more freakish than him, but he's not necessarily bendy either. But he has some interesting traits. Like I said, you know, 6'3", 260. I know he ran like a mid 4.640, whether it be like a 4.64, 4.65, whatever it was, which is solid for that weight. So he's a straight line explosive athlete who has good burst off the snap. I think he has good hand placement. You know, good power in the hand. He showed some pass rush moves, which is mostly like rips clubs and things that take a little bit more power. He's good at setting the edge. So I think he's going to be a really good like edge player in terms of the run game. And I think, which a lot of people have, it's been circulated around that he'll be a guy who moves to the interior because of his speed and his power combination, who could give guards fits and centers fits, blitzing from the interior on nickel. Type situations, which is a lot of situations now, but I'm talking about like more like third and long situations. You don't want him necessarily, you know, setting or holding up two gaps in the run game at 260 in the interior. But if you are going to ask him to penetrate or be the looper or something like that in a blitz, or if you're going to, you know, try to carry the left tackle through right guard, you know, on a certain type of blitz, and he's blitzing from the backside, and now he's one-on-one with a guy where he can shoot an interior gap. Like, he has that ability because he is a straight-line guy and has power to work through hands and things like that. So he'll be interested in that in that way, but there are obviously also weaknesses. You know, his snap time is inconsistent. His pass rush plan is inconsistent. He'll kind of just lean into a guy and not really have a way of defeating the hands at the first phase or the second phase when he's trying to defeat those hands to respond to however the offensive lineman locked him up. Like, he lacks that ability to win in the first phase. And then, like I said, to have counter moves. There's that, the shorter arms, the bend, his tackle radius was frustrating to watch at times where, there was a couple tackles he should have made because he's not the most fluid athlete from his hips and his shorter arms. There's a lot of tackles that are broken, and I saw them broken at Florida. So now at the NFL, when he's trying to corral Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson or any one of the many more agile quarterbacks coming up, it's a new trend in the NFL where, you know, back in the day it was the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's pocket passers. Now it's the Lamar Jackson's, Russell Wilson's, et cetera. Even Sam Darnold, you know, like those are guys who are not necessarily the easiest to bring down at times. Josh Allen in the division, Tua, you know, so that's frustrating at times with him. The change of direction, like, so there's definitely some limiting athletic traits that he has, but I think in terms of some of his technique, he's pretty solid. So I think he's a poor man's Jadeveon Clowney type player right now, where he's good in some areas athletically, like I said, straight on explosion, power, things like that, but he's never going to be a guy who's going to get you 10 plus sacks unless, you know, it's a Calvin Pace, with a 2010 year or whatever it was, where he got 10 sacks. It's more cleanup type duty because he's a high effort player, but which I should mention about Zuniga as well. I do like his effort and his motor for sure as well.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Joe, what about the fourth round picks that the Jets made? And we'll start with the first one. Zuniga's teammate at Florida, LaMichael Perine. Now, this is a guy that, from what I watch, seemed to be sort of a poor man's Bilal Powell, if that makes any sense. Good at a bunch of things, not especially great at anything, not particularly explosive or a great athlete. What'd you see when you watched this tape?
Yeah, I wouldn't say a poor man's Bilal Powell. I would just say a different Bilal Powell, where Bilal Powell was a little bit more explosive than Perine is, but Perine also has more power than Bilal Powell does. And I think that's like a decent comparison, at least for Jets fans, like relatively. There probably are better examples of backup running backs out there who are a better comparison for Perine. But like I said, for the case of just Jets fans kind of having like the understanding of what he is, the role he'll play, I think that's the type of player he is. And honestly, like, listen, there are guys like McFarland out there, all the other people, all the other running backs that Jets fans wanted. But at the same time, I think right now, if you could sign up for him having a Bilal Powell type, you know, career, I think we'd sign up for that for a fourth round pick. Even though Bilal Powell, I think in the earlier years, you know, 2014, 15, 16 was criminally underused. I think he could have been a decent to below average starter, which is, you know, solid for the place that Bilal Powell was picked. But yeah, he's a guy who's like, he's a safe pick. Again, there were some guys who were more explosive available at that time who might end up busting out because they don't reach their ceiling, where P. Ryan's a guy who's never going to be a top flight, explosive, take the ball 60 yards to the house type guy. But he's also a Bilal Powell type guy in the sense of, okay, he'll consistently get you 3, 4, 5 yards, won't run backwards, will always fall forward, has a wide range of skills, but not necessarily a master of any of them. So I it's a pick that I'm good with. I'm okay with it. I'm not ecstatic with it, but at the same time, I get getting a safe guy. And there are plenty of guys. Like if you look through our history, I'm not saying he's going to be any one of these type of players, but there's plenty of guys who don't necessarily have the best athletic traits who were really good players. You know, Terrell Suggs, Larry Fitzgerald, running back looking on just the same team. Frank Gore was never a guy who was ridiculously good at one thing, but is really consistent for a long time because he was good at everything. So, like, I'm not comparing directly to Frank Gore. Frank Gore's in the Hall of Famer, but you get what I'm saying. So he could be, you know, I think he's going to be like a dual system type back, a guy who is not going to get Le'Veon Bell snaps. So maybe he, you know, if the Jets run it, you know, let's say 2021 with him and another running back, whether it be Bell, probably not, and another guy, he gets, you know, 200 carries, or he's never meet a guy who's going to get 350 carries and things like that. So I like the contact balance. I like the vision. I like the ball security. I like that he always is falling forward for extra yardage. I think he's a patient runner, one cut guy. He's not going to be jump cutting three gaps like some other guys in the NFL can. So he's like a one cut type guy, see the hole and hit it, but not going to explode to the outside and outrun guys to the sideline. But I think he's smart with his read. I think he manipulates defenders going into gaps where, you know, he'll stay a little bit more tight inside to the center's ass. To get the Mike linebacker to bite inside it and bounce it outside off of the guard's you know, left cheek or right cheek, whatever way you're running. So like, he does some things that I definitely like. Enjoys contact. He has good hands. He is a willing pass blocker. He has to work on his technique in terms of coming into those blocks, where he'll duck his head a little bit and just throw his arms out there, where the NFL guys will be able to defeat those blocks easier than, you know, guys who play at Florida. So he has those abilities and more. I don't want to list every single thing I listed in the strengths and weaknesses. But then there are the weaknesses that are going to hold him back from ever being a top flight guy. You know, Zeke or Barkley or whoever, Gurley, Henry, et cetera, et cetera. Well, not Gurley anymore, but you know what I'm talking about. So the short area change of direction, the burst isn't there. While it's not bad, it's not great either. He doesn't force a ton of missed tackles, as you can see. You know, he might churn forward for another couple of yards, but he's not going to break three guys' ankles in the open field, even like a Le'Veon Bell can. There's some times where I think he concedes the rush a little bit too early, where I thought he had bigger lanes to run through, and he'll kind of just take the safe 2-3 yards, and I thought he could have got 10-15 yards that were a little bit frustrating. But the overall explosion that he lacks, the top-end speed that we've talked about, and there's some minor things like I think he needs to shorten his stride a little bit in the backfield, where his gate's a little bit too open, which doesn't allow for quick change of direction. Like, there's some little tiny technical things, but in terms of the bigger traits we're talking about, he lacks the overall explosion, but a good technical, smart, reliable player. So it's never going to be a home run pick, but it's like hitting a solid, you know, like people compare it to a baseball, like a solid single or double type pick, which, like I said, I'm okay with. Not a static, but like I said, it's decent. It gets like a B minus B type of grade instead of maybe an A plus like some others might get.
If nothing else, he does seem to be a pretty good fit for the system, right?
Yeah, zone system. You don't necessarily want him bursting through holes like you'd have to in a, you know, in a power or a counter scheme. I think he's a guy who can manipulate runners or gaps in a zone system, take guys where he wants them and then cut through whatever gap is vacated, which is what a lot of zone is. It's a lot of reading guys, making one cut and gaining the yards you can, where plays like power and counter might be a little bit more of the explosive type plays, hitting holes and getting up the field, where, like I said, the zone is more setting up your blocks and it's taking what's open. Not to say that you can't create explosive plays from zone, but I would bet that more gap power type plays create more explosive plays than zone do. I'm sure if there was somebody who could chart that would be the case. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's my opinion on it at least. So yeah, zone runner. The Jets seem like they're going to run more inside zone again. Like, they have some outside zone guys, but I think with the offensive line they're building, it's more of guys who have decent mobility, but definitely have some power as well, where it's not like if you had a bunch of George Fant, yeah, you'd want to run outside zone. But you know, you have Beckton, who's a power guy, Clark, who's a power, who has some power to him, McGovern, who can move but has some power. So I think there'll be more inside zone type guys, and I think that's what P. Ryan fits into best, where outside zone, obviously, you're widening your rushing track, and you need to be able to run a little bit more to the sideline, outrun guys to the sideline, where inside zone is a little bit more manipulating guys and just taking a couple of yards, where, like I said, outside zone is a little bit more of a you need a little bit more athletic ability. So he's definitely a fit.
Let's talk Captain Morgan, Joe. This was the pick that a lot of people were confused about because the Jets have a lot of needs. We're talking about the fourth round here. So they're picking a quarterback that if you're lucky, doesn't even end up playing. And I know that getting a quarterback that can step in when you need him, when the quarterback that you have as your star quarterback gets hurt, is important. But how important is it when you weigh the rest of the needs that the team had? And also, he's not going to play this year, so you're only going to get him for 3 years. And then at the end, he's probably gone if he's worth anything. Otherwise, he sticks around, and how much was he really worth in the first place? So this is a peculiar pick, especially when you can get a guy like Joe Flacco for $1 million. But having said that, you can see the flashes of talent that made Joe Douglas and Adam Gase be hopeful that he can be something at the NFL level. I'm not sure that I'm convinced that he's going to be anything special, but definitely some arm talent. Big kid, can throw, smart kid, really understands offenses. So talk to me a little bit about how that translated to the tape you watched.
Yeah, so with the pick, like, this is another pick where it's like, okay, like, it gets like a C plus for me, but you know, there are obviously some receivers that fans wanted, or a corner or a linebacker, whoever was there. I don't remember exactly who was there at the time, but there's definitely guys that Jets fans were clamoring for. Even Bryce Hall, who Morgan was picked over. But at the same time, it's like, it's interesting because, you know, Jets fans complained about not having a backup quarterback last year, which Morgan, you know, he's not a primary backup this year anyway, but which is another interesting situation because they had Simeon. Simeon, I thought, was a good backup plan. You know, I think he was like 13-12 as a starter, and then got obviously signed with the Jets. So I thought he was a good backup. But my problem with last year was just running Falk and fails out there after that point where they should have signed a guy or something because they were just brutal. So fans complain about not having a backup quarterback, and then they draft a backup quarterback, and they're kind of mad. But the same sense, like you were saying, he's not a year one guy. He should not be the backup year one. He has plenty of development to do. He's from a small school. He has to learn the NFL games. You have Flacco for that. But the point you made, years 2, 3, 4, okay, he can be a good backup. But if he's worth anything, he won't be signing with the Jets, obviously, assuming that Sam Darnold works out and he doesn't want to continue to be a backup. So it's like a 3-year investment. So I get needing a backup quarterback. Throughout the cliches about how important Foles was to the Eagles a couple of years ago, which is true. But at the same time, there were more pressing needs, even though I think backup quarterback is an underrated position of need for every team. If you don't have a good backup quarterback who can come in, and you know, not like last year with the Jets when they didn't have Darnold, we knew they were going to lose every single game, especially when it's Falk and those guys. Like, we absolutely knew they were going to lose. Where maybe if Morgan came in, let's say the situation was in 2021, Darnold goes out for 3 games, and maybe he just wins one of those games. Like, how much would have one game, you know, change the 2008 season or the 2015 season, you know? So, like, which I don't know, those guys didn't get injured necessarily, but you know what I mean? Like, one game can make the difference. So I get the need for a backup quarterback. At the same time, I don't love the pick because there was guys there that everybody wanted. Now, in terms of the player, like you said, you know, 6'4", 213, so he has good, typical quarterback size that you want. And this is another guy where it's a lot of traits, but the technical work isn't there. So you see the big-time arm. You see the velocity on balls. You see he has decent mobility. He can throw a good deep ball, tight spiral. He will take a shot in the face to deliver a ball. So you like that. You like his toughness. You like the ability to fit balls into tight windows. Even though his accuracy is sporadic sometimes, others it's not, where he can really, really fit a ball into a tight window between three defenders because his arm allows him to do so. So you see the flashes. You see the poise. You see the ability to keep his eyes downfield when working through a murky pocket. Like, there are definitely some positives there. You know, he can also, and this just comes with natural arm talent, there's some times he'll throw a perfect ball 45 yards between two defenders while he's fading away and falling back in his feet, or even throwing from an open stance, which is something you don't want to see. So he has the athletic ability, but then the weaknesses come into play. The knee injury in the senior season is concerning. His base is narrow when he throws, and it's not necessarily narrow as he goes to throw. It's narrow as he finishes his delivery, so he doesn't really step through his front foot. I always talk about, you want that lead foot, your front foot, you know, driving towards your target or where you want the ball to go, and your hallway, which is the midpoint of your back foot pointed to where you want the ball to go as well, and you really want to step through that, create torque and like a whip-like motion from your hips all the way through your arms. That's what generates that power through your arm and accuracy and things like that, which is body mechanics, where he really just – his feet are not set properly, doesn't step through. His hallway is not set. He steps in the bucket just like Sam Darnold does, where instead of driving towards, he kind of works laterally, and it becomes much more of an arm throw. So there might be 8 out of 10 throws that look great in a tight window, but then he'll also – have two balls out of those 10 sail over a guy's head or be too far out or too far behind because he's relying too much on his arm. Where obviously perfect mechanics, you want to activate your full body. So he struggles with that accuracy. There are times where he will take unnecessary sacks where he has to learn, just like Donald kind of does, where he needs to learn to throw the ball away, where he'll drift around a little bit too much in the pocket and try to find a guy open and not have that internal clock be proper. He could be a little bit reckless chucking the ball up. There's one play, I don't remember specifically who was against, but he evades one sack, another guy is bringing him down, and while he's being brought to the ground, he loads the ball up and chucks it deep down the field without even seeing where he's throwing the ball at defenders in the area. It wasn't picked, but he has a tendency to just try to chuck the ball up to hope something happens in situations where it's not necessarily. Now, if it's, you're down 7, it's the last drive of the game, and no matter what, you're going to lose if you don't get the first down, sure. But you saw him doing it on 1st and 10 in the first quarter, up by 3 points, and yeah, learn to throw the ball away, let the team punt it, whatever it might be. So another traits type guy who needs a lot of technical work, a lot of honing in terms of his aggressiveness at times. But I see the intrigue in terms of the arm pound and some of the mobility he has. So interesting pick, but again, another like C+ type pick, not an A for me.
That's going to wrap up part one of this edition of X and O Quick Hits. We'll get into part two tomorrow, breaking down the rest of the 2020 draft class. In the meantime, make sure that you follow Joe on Twitter at JoeRB31, read his work, and watch his film reviews over at JetsXFactor.com. If you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we would be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and turnonthejets.com.